Japan Top 10.
Hello everyone and welcome to Japan Top 10. I'm Andy.
And I'm Ethel.
And you are joining us today for our May 2020 special, the Discover the Fuji Rock Festival special. We will dive into all things Fuji Rock. Incidentally, one of the few events not canceled in Japan yet, but we'll get into that later. But first, we have some announcements. So Ethel, do you want to take that away?
That's right, guys. Before we head on to the rest of this episode, we have a couple of announcements we'd like to make. So do you think you know Japan Top 10 music? Well, we've got a challenge just for you. We have a new contest called Guess at Japan Top 10 Tune. Somewhere in this episode, you'll hear us play two song clips, both about a second long. Identify both song clips or one of them with the correct title of the song and artist or band name, and you can win yourself a free $50 USD gift card to a retailer of your choice. If you identify one of the two song clips correctly, you'll win a prize of $25 for a gift card to a retailer of your choice. Now, you'll only get one guess per week per contestant. Our Patreon donors will get weekly posts, updates of incorrect guesses from our listeners, and this contest is actually open to anyone from around the world. To enter and find out more information about the contest, visit our website at jtop10.jp/contest. I would just like to congratulate our winner of the Guess That JTop 10 Tune. Congratulations, Brandon Iwamoto, you've just snagged yourself a $25 gift card. Brandon writes to our team saying, I want to give a huge shout out to the crew at JTop 10 for continuing to put out a fantastic podcast all this time. It's been a great thing to listen to amidst all the craziness going on today, and I hope everyone else has been able to get as much enjoyment out of it as I have. Thanks again, and I hope you are all well. Thank you so much, Brandon. We are all well on the JTop 10 crew wherever we may be recording this podcast, and we hope that you and the rest of our listeners out there listening to this show are all well amidst the craziness that's happening around us. And also, we have our annual listener survey up. We would like to know your opinion of our podcast, and in return, we will randomly reward one of our survey entrants a free $50 USD gift card to a retailer of their choice. For full details, check out our website at jtop10.jp.
Yes, thank you so much, Ethel, for announcing that. Now the contest will continue to find our grand prize winner if they are able to identify both song clips, and they will win a $50 gift card, just as Ethel mentioned earlier. So keep trying, guys, and congratulations, Brandon. Nice ear. So let's get into the nitty-gritty. We have some awesome songs for you coming up on this episode, as it is themed around the Fuji Rock Festival, famed for so many great acts over the years. But before we get into that, let's kind of lay the grounds for discussing the Fuji Rock Festival, as I'm sure a lot of people, myself included, and I think Ethel also included, have not actually been to Fuji Rock Festival yet.
Sadly, no.
Right? I know. But the Fuji Rock Festival, called Fuji Rock by most here in Japan, is an outdoor music festival that was started in 1997 by Masahiro Hidaka. So actually, a little bit of backstory. In the 80s, Hidaka was a music event organizer, and most of his musical events were surrounding protests, specifically against nuclear activity in Japan, as they have a very tragic history with it here. And a lot of those music events were called the Atomic Cafe Festival. And those lasted in the 80s, with a very last one happening in 1987. However, Masahiro Hidaka was also actually friends with the founder of the very famous Glastonbury Music Festival, whose name is Michael Evis. And his friendship led him to want to continue to make a bigger and better music festival on par with Glastonbury, which ultimately led him to cultivate the Fuji Rock Festival, the first one in 1997. So as it is Japan's premier, or I think it's Japan's premier outdoor music festival, from the beginning, it had a strong focus on introducing a diverse range of acts, both within Japan, within genres of music, but also within different nationalities. The festival from the get-go was very focused on pulling in a lot of different international acts, as well as up-and-coming Japanese acts. So over the years, some of the more famous headliners have been acts such as the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Eminem, Bjork, Sia. The list goes on for international acts that you hear in pop music, but there have been a lot of Japanese music mainstays, such as One Ok Rock and Gen Hoshino, Superfly, and Asian Kung Fu Generation, just to name a few of the acts on the Japanese side. So that's a little bit about who is coming to the festival, but when. The festival is usually held in the very hot summer months of Japan, specifically the last weekend in July, and it's held at the Naiba Ski Resort in Niigata. It is typically a three-day festival, except for the very first one, and the festival grounds are host to a whole bunch of different stages that we'll get into later as we talk about the different acts, but each stage has its own flavor and offers a unique lineup of genres for eager listeners and festival goers. Sorry, that was a big wash of information, but what is your personal interaction with Fuji Rock Festival, Ethel?
My personal interaction with Fuji Rock Festival is pretty much through pictures. Over the past few years, Fuji Rock has actually had a presence on Instagram, and I think they've slowly gone onto YouTube as well to do live streams for people who can't go for Fuji Rock. So all I do know is that I do follow like a couple of regular photographers who go to the event, and I actually do have friends who've been to Fuji Rock, so they've told me like what the experience is like. I remember Andy, when we were talking about the festival in general as we're getting ready for this episode, we were discussing how hot it is in Japan during summer, and it's like, well, at least it's up in like the mountains and it's not that hot down low in like Tokyo or something, because it gets really humid in summer in Japan.
That is 100% correct. And actually, as we talk, I think the setup for our episode, I wanted to go a little bit chronologically so we can talk about the history of Fuji Rock. And the first two were actually held elsewhere. They weren't in Niigata. So you're right. They had to escape the hotness because people realized just how crazy it is to try and hold a festival in the middle of summer in Tokyo.
Yeah. And thank you so much for putting this into chronological order. I'm going to get it rolling, guys. So I'm going to be giving you like a taste of what the music scene was like from 1997 to 2004. Now, the first time the Fuji Rock Festival was ever held was in 1997, and it was the only time it's ever been held near Mount Fuji. However, due to a typhoon, the festival was a single day only event, with many people needing medical attention from the high wind damage and rains because day two got cancelled. And then in 1998, it was held at the Tokyo Sound Square, but access to the venue wasn't very easy to get to, and they only had two stages, which made the crowding situation a lot more dangerous at times. And then in 1999, it was the first year it was held, and it's now, I would say, permanent location in Niigata at the Naiba Ski Resort. This was also the first year the festival decided to become a three-day affair. The first two were only scheduled for 2 days. Well, the first one was a single day. In the year 2000, it was the first and last year to have a Japanese headliner on the main stage, which is actually the green stage. And as what Annie said earlier, we'll be talking about that later in the episode. The Japanese headliner was Blanky Jet City, who was headlining the first day, and The Michelle Gunn Elephant, who was headlining the second day. These two acts were actually very notable acts in the early years of Fuji Rock. So without further ado, let's get started. And to just add a small twist to this entire episode, Andy and I have been looking for as many kinds of music and as many live acts. I think we've got all of them, so any live act that we found throughout the years at Fuji Rock Festival. So please enjoy the Red Hot Chili Peppers with Danny California, performed live at Fuji Rock in 2006. We'll be right back.
That again was Danny California by the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Thank you, Ethel, for giving us a nice broad swath of information about the early years. As you probably noticed, this was from their 2006 performance at Fuji Rock and not the very first one, which they were also at in 1997. And that's because, incidentally, there was not a lot of footage from the typhoon plagued first Fuji Rock. But the Red Hot Chili Peppers, as I just mentioned, were the very first headliners at the Fuji Rock Festival, and their set was cut to only 45 minutes because of typhoon conditions, and the lead singer, Anthony Keldis, was actually performing with a broken arm, which he had sustained in a motorcycle accident earlier in that year. This was also a historic last performance for the band with their longtime guitarist Dave Navarro, who would go on to do other projects such as Jane's Addiction and a whole host of other things after the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and it was kind of right before their big break where they had a lot of commercial success in the States as well. But as a band, they have been performing and putting out albums since 1983, actually. I was really surprised when I looked that up and found that out. They have been around for a long time. And in terms of record sales and radio play on the worldwide scale, they are one of the most, if not the most, successful alternative rock bands of all time, which is probably why they got invited to Fuji Rock at the time. They actually ended up playing at Fuji Rock, so the first year, again in 2002, and then for two special performances at the 10-year anniversary in 2006 and the 20-year anniversary in 2016. So they have kind of like folded into the history of it very deeply.
Yeah, and in the research for this episode, I think we've both discovered that there have been quite a lot of repeat international artists being invited back to Fuji Rock Festival over the years, and it's frankly amazing. Really, really cool.
Yeah, it is awesome, and I think it's just such an interesting opportunity for bands that usually wouldn't come to this region of the world on a world tour. You know, a lot of those tend to be Eurocentric, so Fuji Rock really made an avenue for people to come and perform in East Asia, it seemed like.
I totally agree. I think Fuji Rock has bridged this whole divide where they think in Asia they don't have a presence, but they actually do. And I think in the last maybe decade or so, you've only seen a build-up for that, and it's totally amazing.
No, for sure. Well, transitioning into one of the more historic acts as well, in terms of just stage presence, let's go on to Tokyo Ska Paradise Orchestra with their rendition of Lupin the Third, 78, performed at the 1999 Fuji Rock Live.
So you've just heard Tokyo Ska Paradise Orchestra, affectionately known as Tsukapara or TSPO, which is a ska and jazz unit formed in 1988 by percussionist Asa Chang. So this is actually the 1999 Fuji Rock performance of Lupin the Third, 1978. It's a really cool song, and if you're not familiar with Lupin the Third, it's a great anime. And basically, Asa Chang, who is the percussionist, he got his start as a composer in Tokyo's underground music scene. And over their 32-year history, yes guys, Tsukapara has been around for 32 years. They've also had like a lot of lineup changes over time. They have worked with headliners like Sheena Ringo, Puffy, and Crystal K, just to name a few. And as I said, the band has changed members frequently over the years. Plenty of their former members have also gone on to have wildly successful careers. Now, I'd like to just tell you how popular Tsukapara is at Fuji Rock Festival. They have been invited back to Fuji Rock in 98, 99, 2002, 2005, 2007, 2009, 11, 13, 14, and last year in 2019. That is 10 times. They've been to Fuji Rock 10 times. It's mind-blowing. And I really like Tsukapara. They're amazing live. I've never seen them live before, but I've seen enough of their live videos over the years, and it's always a blast.
Oh, absolutely. Tokyo Ska Paradise is probably the first Japanese band that I got into way back in middle school, as weird as that sounds. I used to really be into video game music, and like in the early days of the internet, I would be searching out remixes to the Tetris theme and whatnot, and I have this very definitive memory of having Tokyo Ska Paradise live Tetris theme blasting on my MP3 player as I would walk to school every day.
I totally get it. And if people have realized when they just listened to Tsukapara, it's big band music. It's huge brass unit. It's amazing. I totally encourage you to just go on YouTube and find more of their music if you've never heard of their stuff before. So moving on, we're going into the year 2000s, and this is one of the only Japanese headliners that headlined Fuji Rock Festival. This is Blanky Jet City with D.I.J. no Pistoru, live from year 2000 Fuji Rock performance.
Baby, so now we're together. I shake you, let me cry. Baby, so now we're together. I shake you, let me cry. Oh, baby.
of that again was Blanky Jet City from their 2000 Fuji Rock headlining performance, their last performance as a formal band with D.I.J. No Pistoru. So I was actually very uninformed with who Blanky Jet City was prior to starting some research for this, so that's my bad. But in finding out, I learned that they are a three-piece rock band from Aichi Prefecture in Japan. They formed in 1987 and disbanded, with their final performance being this one that you heard. This is just one song, of course, but it was the 2000 Fuji Rock Festival. The band went to London while promoting their debut album, Red Guitar and the Truth, and Japanese fashion designer Yoji Yamamoto used their music from this album to promote his 1991 Paris collection, which is just such a wild convergence of worlds. It's really cool when you see those kind of fashion moments gaining traction with the rock side of music and vice versa. But while still performing under the Blanky Jet City band name, each member also pursued a number of other personal gigs, which I found really interesting. Like, one band was not enough for each of them. To quickly outline who these people are and what else they've done, Kenichi Asai, the lead vocalist and guitarist, was in the band The Sherberts, in Jude and Ajiko, as well as produced some solo albums. Toshiyuki Terui is the group's bassist, and he performed in the band Rosso and Raven, as well as more. There was a lot of unnamed band work that he had been doing as well. And finally, the percussionist Tatsuya Nakamura performed in the bands The Stalin, Los Alios, which was actually formed with some members from TSPO, from Tokyo Ska Paradise, Twin Tail, and even more bands. So these people are highly talented and just could not get enough of performance, apparently, in starting extra bands outside of their own three-piece unit.
Yeah, and to be honest, I've actually never heard of Blanky Jet City or The Michelin Gun Elephant, which is actually next, but they sound really cool. It's a very era-relevant kind of music. It's,
yeah,
if you hear it, you know it's from that era.
Oh, absolutely. I know. It's very rock. It's just quintessential J-rock in my mind. Those slamming guitars with screamy vocals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and just to wrap up our little moment with Blanky Jet City, they had a lot of influence, I think, in the early years. I don't know if they had a certain relationship with Hidaka, the man who formed the lineup and whatnot, but they were only there for 2 years, 1998 and 2000s, and yet a lot of the things on the internet that you see when you look up Fuji Rock live performances, it comes up with Blanky Jet City. They must have had quite a memorable stay on the fabric of Fuji Rock history. As you mentioned, let's introduce our other Japanese headliner, The Michelle Gun Elephant. This song is Abakareta Sekai from their Fuji Rock 2003 performance.
Thank you.
And that was the Shotgun Elephant, a garage rock band that formed in 1991, consisting of four members. The band disbanded in 2003, with almost all the members going on to work with other groups afterwards. There was the vocalist Yusuke Chiba. He wrote all the band's songs while they were still together and went on to work with Rosso. I believe someone else from Lanky Jet City was in Rosso. There you go, Toshiyuki Terui was also in Rosso. Interesting enough. And then there was the percussionist Kazuyuki Kuhara, who worked on other projects but came back together with Chiba to form The Birthday, which is another very good rock band. And there was the bassist Koji Ueno, who was a member of The Hiatus and Radio Caroline. And there was also Futoshi Abe, who was one of your guitarists and was a member of Kurogi but sadly passed away in 2009. Abakareta Sekai is the band's 13th single and comes off their album Rodeo Tandem Beat Spectre. Their name, The Michelle Gunn Elephant, has quite an interesting history. It comes from the members not being able to pronounce one of their favorite albums, Machine Gun Etiquette, from British rock band The Damn. With Blanky Jet City, they were the only other Japanese band to headline the Green Stage, which is the main stage at Fuji Rock Festival, and they did so in the same year, in the year 2000. The Michelle Gunn Elephant has performed in 1998, 2000, and 2003. In their 1998 debut performance, the mosh pit got so violent at your set that you had to be temporarily stopped to prevent people from trampling over each other. So that was hella crazy, and I know how mosh pit trampling is like. It's so dangerous, it's mad, but really fun. Yeah, I don't know about you, Andy. Have you ever moshed before? Because I have.
I honestly, I'm such a square. I never have. I've been to quite a few live performances and whatnot, but I've never been to the kind of performance that produced a mosh pit, sadly. So I haven't joined in the bliss and terror of being in the middle of a mosh pit.
Oh my god, the blister turret. Yeah, it is actually worse.
Do you guys want to win a $50 gift card just by knowing your J Top 10 music? Let's play the Guess That Japan Top 10 tune. Have a listen to our two song clips and see if you can guess. Here they are. Would you like to hear that one more time? Let's play it again for the nice people. I hope you guys had your listening ears on. You can enter your guesses at jtop10.jp/contest. So remember that only one guess per week per contestant. Our Patreon donors will get a weekly posting of incorrect guesses as well. So send in your guesses, and I hope you guys can get both and win that $50 gift card. Do you want to hear double or triple the amount of songs on this episode? We talked a lot about Fuji Rock, and I hope our sample for you was good, but there's so much more wonderful discussion that we had. If you want to hear that, join our Patreon club and become a Patreon star or Patreon platinum donor to get respectively double or triple amounts of content and songs on this episode. So please, 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 if you want further details on that, check out our information at jtop10.jp/club.
Yes, thank you so much guys for tuning in to our special little episode about discovering the Fuji Rock Festival. I hope that you have the opportunity in future to actually be present at the festival, and I hope I do too. And just so you guys know, the tickets sell out really quick. It starts selling in the December month, so if you want to go for 2021, you buy tickets in December 2020. That's how it goes. Then there are only four ways, and it gets progressively more expensive, and accommodations are crazy to get. So yes, that's all you have to know. And in a week from now, Anna will team up with our K-Top 10 team to bring you more insight onto the COVID-19 pandemic. Any last words, Andy?
Nothing other than continue to stay safe, you guys. Thank you for listening. Mm-hmm. And you too, Ethel. Please take care out there.
Yeah, same to you too.
I had a blast talking about Fuji Rock, and yeah, get out there and discover some new music.
Yes, the world is your oyster. Now, goodbye, guys. Stay safe. Yes. Bye.
Bye.
Japan Top 10, the number one Japanese music podcast.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.